Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain Sundays during the course of the church year where the main subject of our appointed lessons is difficult to discern. This Sunday is not one of those. The theme for today clearly comes through that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And for this reason, this Sunday, at least in the Anglican Church, has commonly been known as Good Shepherd Sunday. There are a variety of passages in Holy Scripture where we can draw upon this theme, and you've heard some of those this morning. The symbol of the Good Shepherd was important in early Christian art. At the time when Christianity was illegal in the Roman Empire, Christians could actually draw upon an older pagan image which showed a shepherd with a ram on his shoulders taking the ram to be sacrificed. Christians tweaked that a little bit and envisioned this as Jesus carrying a shepherd on his shoulders. And so that image actually became very popular in the Roman catacombs where the early Christians would gather to worship. There are many comforting truths associated with the idea that Christ is our Good Shepherd, but this morning we want to think of two in particular. These are drawn from one verse in our epistle lesson and are echoed in our collect for the day. St. Peter writes in the 21st verse of the second chapter, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Our collect takes this statement and forms it into the basis for our prayer. Each of our collects, if you note, always begins with a statement of fact upon which our petition is based. And so the collect begins with these words, "Almighty God, who hast given thine only Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and also an ensample of a godly life." And then it goes on to make these petitions. So in light of this, let us meditate upon these twin themes, how the Good Shepherd is the sacrifice for sin and also an ensample of godly life. At first glance, it may be difficult to see how the theme of Christ as the Good Shepherd and the idea of a sacrifice for sin fit together. But Jesus draws upon this imagery numerous times to describe his purpose for coming into the world. For instance, at one point, Jesus looked upon those who came out to hear him, and he described them as looking like sheep without a shepherd. In one of his parables, he also described a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And when one wandered off, the shepherd left the 99 to go and find the one straggler. So this image became a very picturesque way to think of the purpose for which Christ came into the world. He is envisioned as a shepherd who goes on a rescue mission. He came to gather those who were scattered and to save those who were lost. But it goes further than that. In fact, this shepherd would go to extreme lengths to complete his rescue mission. Jesus himself describes this in our gospel lesson today when the opening verse says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then just a few verses later he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." This is extreme, is it not? What shepherd would give his life for a sheep? The value that he places on his sheep is demonstrated in the fact that he's willing to pursue every last one, no matter how far they wander. And furthermore, by the fact that he's willing to give his life in the process. This is how Jesus describes his mission, which really should delight our hearts, especially in light of the fact that as sheep, we're prone to wander, prone to get ourselves into trouble. And if left to our own devices, we would be supper for the wolf, who would like nothing more than to devour us. But Jesus will have none of it. In fact, he goes so far as to make amends, if you will, for our wandering. St. Peter makes this point just a few verses later in our epistle lesson when he says that though Christ committed no sins of his own, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So we pray to God on this basis, that he sent his only Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. In doing so, he rescued us from our sins and certain demise and brought us back into God's fold, back to God. The second connection here may be equally puzzling at first. That is, how does Christ work as the Good Shepherd give us an ensample of a godly life? And don't be thrown off by that word ensample. It's actually an old English word that eventually was replaced by the word example. The word that St. Peter used here in the original language in the text of the New Testament, though, was borrowed from the field of education, describing how a teacher would help a student learn to write. The teacher would give the student a partial sketch of a letter, which the student would then finish. I don't know if they still do this these days, but when I was in early, like first grade or whatever, we had something very similar, where you'd have these lines, partial lines of a partial letter, and you were to take your pencil and you were to go over those lines, and by doing so, you learned how to form the letter. You had a pattern, a partial pattern, and you would fill that pattern in, and you would learn how to form the letter. That's the concept that St. Peter is drawing upon to set forth Christ as our pattern, as our example. He has set the pattern, and we are called by God's grace to follow that pattern. But this actually fits quite well with the theme of the shepherd, who would call his sheep and they would follow him. Christ, the Good Shepherd, finds us where we have wandered and bids us to follow him to a safer course. But if you think more deeply about this, Christ also calls us to emulate him, to follow in his footsteps. Now, in St. Peter's letter, he was writing to Christians in the Roman Empire who were already suffering persecution on account of their association with Christ. He's basically saying that this should not come as a surprise because Christ himself suffered and by doing so gave us the example, the pattern. He even goes so far as to suggest that if we suffer on account of Christ, then we also will glorify God. Of course, this idea of following Christ goes beyond suffering. We know from the Gospels that our Lord Jesus went about doing good. He comforted the downhearted. He rescued the downtrodden, befriended the outcasts, and a whole host of other selfless acts. And he bids us to follow him. He is our ensample, our pattern for a godly life. We're called to go about doing good in imitation of our Master. So as we come this morning to celebrate the Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving, let us come with grateful hearts for the Good Shepherd who went to such great lengths to rescue us. We're going to be reminded in a few moments as those words are rehearsed that in the course of his rescue mission, he gave his flesh and blood to save us. And may we be reminded that he rescued us for a purpose, that we might walk after him. He is our life's pattern. Let us selflessly follow him wherever he takes us, and by doing so, we will bring glory and honor to God. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."